We're in the book of Romans. We're continuing our teaching in Romans chapter 11, 17 through 24. Don't take God for granted. Stay on the right path. And when I say stay on the right path, it's the Jesus path. It's the only path that's going to get you to heaven. There's all kinds of phony paths, but he's the only one that will get you to heaven. And we're going to emphasize that today. We've also talked about last time about unbelieving Jews being cut off from the olive tree. Now, the olive tree are the blessings of God to the nation of Israel and the blessings of God to anyone who is grafted in. We know that branches were broken off last week who were unbelieving Israel, and branches were grafted in that were believing Gentiles. So we remember this from last week just as a prelude. Now, this week is don't take God for granted. So many people say that they're saved, say that I believe in Jesus, hip, hip, hooray, but they're not on the path. They are make-believers, non-believers. Think they're believers, and they're in trouble. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I believe that your sanctification demonstrates that your justification was genuine. That justification is that moment in time when you said, yes, I believe in you, Jesus. I place my trust in you, Jesus. And Christ's righteousness is credited to you. At that instant, God looks at you as pure, holy, and clean. We've also learned in Romans chapter 11 that God is not through with Israel. We know that they've been set aside for a time, and we'll review that again today for the umpteenth time. But I want to make sure that you know that God is not through with Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. Does everyone have that? Yes, yes, Pat. Okay, good, good. So if you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. Romans 11, 17 through 24. And we're going to go through the branches and being broken off and follow this really closely, okay? And if some of the branches were broken off, that's Israel, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, Gentile believers, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. That's the blessings of Israel, the blessings of God. That's being in a relationship with God. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, church, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Warning. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these whose natural branches be grafted in to their own olive tree? This is the word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for this time for us to study this word. And Lord, help us to be crystal clear, to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be in the olive tree. It is by faith alone, in Christ alone. And Lord, I pray that each person in my hearing of this word today will truly, truly know you as their Lord and their Savior, their King, their Redeemer, the one that will get them to heaven. Thank you for this time that we can spend in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The theme of Romans is, the just shall live by faith. Oh, that's good. We're going to start doing that every week. You're going to say that every, well, I probably forget next week, but the just shall live by faith. And it is broken down into six areas, which we never forget. Sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, and so on. We're in that section called sovereignty. The sovereignty of God in electing, choosing Israel as his chosen people. They rejected Messiah. They have been set aside for a time. God will rejoin his program with Israel in the tribulation period. Now, you know the impetus for the Jews to be saved in the tribulation period. We went over it many different times. But again, it's when Antichrist is getting ready to annihilate them at the very end of the tribulation. Then the Jewish people's eyes are open. Then they repent of their national sin of rejecting Messiah. They plead for him to return, and he saves them. That's the national regeneration of Israel. That is the new covenant promise that we saw in Jeremiah 31, 31, and several other areas in the Old Testament. Now, this is a fulfillment of what Jesus said in Matthew 23, 37 through 39. Oh, Jerusalem. He's lamenting his people turning away from him. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How I wanted to hear the heart of Jesus. Gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. They reject his Messiah's offer of the kingdom. And then he goes on. See, your house is left to you desolate, destroyed. Talking about the temple and eventually the Jewish people for be set aside. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the acceptance of Messiah. That's the national regeneration of Israel. Now, you know the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy because we've gone through this many times. But you must understand this prophecy to understand why Israel is set aside for a time and why there is a 7-year tribulation period. You must understand this. So the 70-week prophecy, Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks have been given to your people and to your holy city, and that was to accomplish 6 things that we've talked about in the past, and it culminates with Messiah. Now, what did the Jewish people do? They accomplished 483 years of the 490 years of that prophecy. There was a 70-week prophecy. These are 70-week years, 490 years. 483 years have been completed with the rejection of Messiah. Remember, the kingdom offer was to Messiah. Jesus' first coming was with the kingdom offer to Messiah, and it was rejected. His second coming is the kingdom will be offered to Messiah, but this time at the end of the tribulation, he'll be received. He'll be received. And that'll be at the very end of the tribulation. That last week, that last 7 years, has to be fulfilled. That is the 7-year tribulation period where the wrath of the Lamb is poured out through the whole thing and the wrath of Antichrist is poured out in the last 3.5 years. Remember, Antichrist comes on the scene through stealth. He looks like a great guy. He's not the top dog at the beginning. He's weaseling his way in. He gets influence of the whole world. And in the middle of the tribulation, he shows who he really is at the 3.5-year point. And then the wrath of Antichrist is poured out on the Jews. He tries to kill every Jew possible and followers of Messiah. Now, we've been through this before. Now, I want you to understand, we are in what is called the church age now. That time between the 483 years and that starting of the 490 years. This is the church age. This is where the church has the responsibility of telling the world about Messiah. That is our job. The Jews did not do this. God says, no, I'm going to have another people. The Gentiles are going to tell the whole world about me. And that's for the church age believers. Now, that church age will last until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, what is the fullness of the Gentiles? It's a set number of Gentiles that will believe in the church age. It goes from Pentecost, the starting of the church, until the rapture of the church. A set number of Gentiles that will be saved. Hear what James says in Acts 14 when he's at the Jerusalem Council, when they're arguing about how Gentiles can be Christians and the Jews want them to be part of Judaism. And no, they said, no, no, no. This is a different way. This is the way to salvation. He says this about the fullness of the Gentiles. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, we've talked about this many times. hopefully we understand what that last 7 years of the tribulation is. But for your enjoyment, one more time, here we go. The first slide. Here we go. Daniel's 70-week prophecy. From the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem, Nehemiah 2, 1 through 8, until Messiah the prince, Messiah the Nagid, Messiah the king comes, there will be 69 week years, 483 years. Messiah is cut off, killed. Time stops for the Jewish people. This period that we're living in now is the church age. The church age ends with the rapture of the church. The Antichrist comes, and by stealth, the first few weeks, the first half week, okay, he's a great guy. The Jews fall all over him. Everybody loves him. But in the middle of tribulation, with the abomination of desolation, when he claims to be God, he then tries to kill every Jew and every tribulation believer. And then Jesus, at his return, saves the remnant. Saves the remnant, the one-third of the Jewish nation that believes. Now, the next slide. Now, again, the final 7 years, 490 years total, that's the 70 weeks prophecy, 483 have been fulfilled. The gap exists between the 483rd and 484th year. The final 7 years are future. The 7 years are the tribulation period. Now, if we were in a Sunday school class, I would ask you, do you understand this? And some of you would go, no, but you have to understand this. This is a key prophecy. An absolute pivotal thing to understand so you have an idea when the rapture is going to occur and what's going to happen in the tribulation period. Finally, last week we talked about first fruits and the lump and the root and the branches and what all that meant. First fruits is simply the best of the harvest that is given to God with a guarantee of more to come. The lump was a first fruit example, the batch of dough and a piece is taken off, making the rest of the batch viewed as holy. Then the root was Abraham's faith, the Abrahamic covenant, and the branches were Jewish believers. The olive tree are the blessings of Israel. So with that information, we start in chapter 11, 17 through 18, broken off branches and wild branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, Gentiles were grafted in among them, and with them became partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Blessings of God. Do not boast against the branches, church. But if you do boast, remember, you do not support the root. The root supports you. Very important concept. We are grafted in. So the natural branches refers to Israel being broken off, okay, they were broken off because of unbelief in Messiah. There's a few branches that are in. There are a few messianic believers today, but by and large, the nation of Israel is apostate, do not believe in the Messiah. They will believe at the end of the tribulation period. The wild branches are us, the Gentile believers. We are grafted in by belief. Now, we must get this down. Some of the branches were broken off. Why? Because of unbelief in Messiah. They had a solid foundation of the patriarchs. They had a solid foundation of who the Messiah was. The Old Testament prophets told them exactly what Messiah would do, and Jesus did what the Old Testament prophets said he would do. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. This is what Messiah is going to do. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, check. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, check. The lame shall walk, check. The tongue of the dumb sing, check. Okay, but there's another one in Isaiah 61, 1 that wasn't checked at the time of Jesus. It was Messiah would set the captives free. Now, it actually was accomplished, but John the Baptist was confused because he's in Herod's prison awaiting to get his head lopped off. And he wonders, if you're the Messiah, why am I still in prison when the captives are set free? I'm a captive. Why am I not set free? So he sends two disciples to Jesus, and they have this discussion. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And Jesus kind of repeats Isaiah 35, 5. The blind see, John. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Yes, John, I am the Messiah. And by the way, you should have known this because I'm your cousin and you've known me for a long time. Okay? So rabbinic tradition says Messiah would do three miracles. Arnold Fruchtenbaum on this, quote, sometime prior to the coming of Yeshua, Jesus, the ancient rabbis separated miracles into two categories. First were those anyone would be able to perform if they were empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. The second category of miracles were called messianic miracles, which were miracles only Messiah could do. Yeshua, Jesus, did miracles in both categories, general miracles and also messianic miracles. So, because of the rabbinic teaching that certain miracles would be reserved only for Messiah to do, when Messiah performed a messianic miracle, it got the attention of the Pharisees. Every single time Jesus did a messianic miracle, the word got back to Jerusalem. They had to send someone out to Galilee or wherever he was to validate what Jesus did. Every single time the validation was true, he did these miracles as stated. So they went to examine Jesus. What were the three miracles? Healing a leper, healing a blind man from
birth,
and casting out a demon from someone who was deaf and could not speak. Jesus did these things many times over, many times over. So the Jewish people who knew the Old Testament, who had the prophets tell them what Messiah would do, rejected. They did not acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. They rejected the kingdom offer, and the kingdom offer was rescinded, taken back. And now the Jewish nation is put on hold. The Jewish are on hold until the tribulation period when they believe. Now, they will be grafted back into the olive tree, but again, it'll be the end of the tribulation period. Some of the branches were broken off, and don't ever forget this. Why? Because of unbelief in Jesus, unbelief in Messiah. Ephesians 2:11 tells us about the Gentiles being included in this program. Listen to what it says. You were once Gentiles in the flesh. At that time, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise. You must understand that all the covenants that were made to the nation of Israel. We benefit by being grafted in to the olive tree. Covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now, in Christ Jesus, you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Galatians 3:14, the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, Gentiles are grafted into the program, are beneficiaries of the covenants because we are grafted into the Jewish program. Gentiles were grafted into Israel's program. Israel was not grafted into the church's program. Is that clear? Okay, let's do that again. Is that clear? Yes. If you don't even have to know what I said. Just say yes. Yes. We cannot misunderstand this. The church has not replaced Israel. It has not replaced Israel. Now, you do not support the root. The root supports you. We're to remember that, church. Anti-Semitism, folks, is on the rise. It is ungodly. Believers, we should never think arrogantly against the Jewish people. Think about this. If it were not for the Jews, there would be no Christianity. Now, why do I say that? Because, well, listen to what Jesus says in John 4:22. You worship what you do not know. Speaking of the Samaritan woman at the well. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Remember, the Jews had the mandate to tell the world about Messiah. They were the ones that were supposed to do this. They refused. They rejected the Messiah. They have been set aside. That has been now delegated to the church during the church age. So, this tells me a lot. Be careful how you treat Israel. Be careful how you treat Israel. The Abrahamic covenant is still in effect. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And I have a caution here. I would say, careful, Mr. President. You are getting in league with Qatar, who were instigators of that mass slaughter in Israel. You are getting in bed with these people. Be very careful as you make these financial decisions and you get some sort of perk with a $400 million plane. Be very careful that you may owe them something in the future. Now, I'm not saying this business stuff is not, I don't know if that's good, bad, or ugly, but I think you got to be really careful when you get in bed with those who have been enemies of Israel. Be very careful with those relationships. I will bless those who bless you. We are instructed in the scripture to pray for one city in particular. Psalm 122:6, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, you must understand that 806 times in scripture, Jerusalem is mentioned. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus departed from Jerusalem. In Revelation 1, 7, his second coming in the clouds will be to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place where God has written his name. Now, you know this have these valleys. This is the Hinnom Valley, the Tyropian Valley, and the Kedron Valley. And this form that you see here is the Shin, the Hebrew titles of Hashem. Hashem means the name. A religious Jew would not say the name of Jesus, out of God, out of respect for God. So they would call him the name. This is the Shin. This is the figure that you see. God Almighty, El Shaddai, he has placed his hand one place in the world on the city of Jerusalem. Those are his chosen people. Don't be arrogant against the Jewish people, folks. We have much to be thankful for to the Jewish people. Now think about this. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in our country. In universities, we have these riots that are going on. The anti-Semitism is getting off the chart. The hate. Wish the Jews did not exist. Wish they were dead. Consider the following. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah who died for each one of us. Consider Holy Scripture. Each book of the Bible was penned by a Jew except for Luke, who wrote also Acts. So he's closely related to the Jewish people. Consider on a human level. You do a little Google search, you can just pop this stuff right up. The Jewish impact on humanity. Albert Einstein, these are all Jews. Theory of relativity, space, time, and matter came into existence at the same moment. You can't have one without the other. That means someone outside of time created space, time, and matter. Niels Bohr, quantum mechanics, atomic theory. Leo Szilard, nuclear energy. Max Born, quantum mechanics. Jonas Salk, polio vaccine. Paul Eldrick, chemotherapy. Salman Westman, streptomycin, a powerful antibiotic. Rosalind Yalow, insulin levels. Paul Zoll, who I particularly like, pacemakers and defibrillators. And then there's technology. Larry Page and Sergey Brin co-founded Google. Jeremy Leemson, the VCR and the fax machine. Casimir Funk, vitamins. Ferdinand Julius Kahn, microbiology. And it goes on and on and on, folks. We have much, much, much to thank the Jewish people for. Messiah being the main one. So verse 19 through 21, don't take God for granted, church. Stay on the path. And when I say stay on the path, you immediately, in your mind, that's the Jesus path. Remember, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. There's one path, one way to God. So every time I say that in this talk, that is what it means. So verse 19 through 21. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now that's an argument of the Jews are broken off so the Gentiles can be grafted in, and there might be an arrogance associated with this. Well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, church, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. That is Danger Will Robinson. That is Danger Will Robinson. Careful with haughty thinking. Careful with thinking that you're special because you're the church. I'm important. Why were the branches broken off? Unbelief. They rejected Jesus Messiah, the Jesus path. Don't be haughty. Don't be haughty, but fear. Why fear? Remember the warning to the Gentiles in verse 21. If God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Huge warning. Huge warning for all those who think they are the church. Okay? Don't get off the path. Again, Israel was broken off because of unbelief. Why will the Gentiles be broken off? Unbelief. They won't be grafted in. This is scary, folks. These are verses that some people use to say you can lose your salvation. And there's something to be really considered here. Consider Israel. They are the natural branches, already part of the olive tree. Unbelieving natural branches are broken off and removed, no longer part of believing Israel. Now the Gentiles, not the natural branches, not easy to graft in, okay? But they are part of the olive tree by belief. And remember, the olive tree is the blessings of Israel. Salvation, the blessings of Israel by God. So, remember, many Gentiles claim, and even some Jews, claim to be genuine branches, believe that they are grafted in. And folks, there's a warning in Scripture here. Make sure you are a genuine believer, not a make-believer, not a pretender, not a, you guys don't know this, but Laurel and Hardy, and they scratch his little head here. I mean, there's like three people here who might remember this. But, you know, I mean, no, you don't just scratch your head and go, oh. You got to get this thing right about salvation. This is one thing you can mess up your eschatology. You can be pre-trib, most-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. You can be amillennium, post-millennium, pre-millennium, and you can still be a believer. But you mess up soteriology, how a person is saved, you are up a creek. So you must get this one right. God will not spare make-believers. No matter how sincere they may be, they will not be grafted in. Only those who believe are branches that will be in the olive tree. Unbelieving Jews are broken off. Unbelieving Gentiles, they are not grafted in. Remember, it's very easy to be sincere, but what? Sincerely wrong. You got that right. And what are we told to do? We're told to examine ourselves. Remember 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you have been disqualified, adokimos, not genuine, false. It is very serious, very serious. You must know that you are in the family. It's going to get clearer here in just a second. Verse 22, steadfast faith is evidence of genuineness. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Now hear this, verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Now, goodness would be salvation. Severity would be judgment. Okay, we have that down. On those who fell, severity, judgment. But toward you who believe, goodness. And notice this word. This is very important. If, that is a third class if. It remains to be seen in every person. It remains to be seen. If you continue in his goodness. If you do not continue, otherwise you also will be cut off. Not part, not a branch in the olive tree, cut off. Now, I hope this is clear to you because this is very important, very important. So those who fell, broken off, judgment, those who experienced the goodness are grafted in, they get mercy. If you continue in the goodness. Now, what does this mean to me? To me, this is a big warning, church. This is a big warning. If you continue to believe, this is a demonstration of genuineness. If one does not believe, you will be cut off, not part of the olive tree. I'm going to give some more clarification for this, so hold on. There are strong warnings about persevering. These are strong warnings about persevering in the faith. Now, hear this. Hear this. There are those who believe that you can renounce your faith. This would be free grace. This would be hyper grace, folks. These are believers, but they believe that you can say something when, let's say, you're 12 years old and you go to Christian camp and everybody's going forward because it's the fun thing to do and we're all getting saved. We got about 50 of us now up here, and everybody's counting them. We had 50 saved this week. You check them about 25 years later. There might be one or two that are genuine, okay? Only God knows true salvation. But it isn't what you said, it's how you're living out your life. Is what you said congruent with your life? So with that stated, there are those who believe that one can renounce their faith and become a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, an atheist, and still be a believer. They believe this, that you are eternally secure because you said the words at some time in your life. I do not believe Scripture supports this view of eternal security. 1 John 2:19 gives some clarity on this. They went out from us. Now listen, I don't know how you can argue with this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out with... Is there an interpreter? But they went out that they might be made manifest, exposed, that none of them were of us. Those who left the faith were not genuine. You cannot become a Muslim, a Buddhist, an atheist. Now, you can repent of those things and be saved and be grafted in. I mean, that's what we pray for. But if that's how you're going to end your life, and that's what you're putting your eggs in those, that basket, you are not saved. 1 John 2:23, 2:22 and 23. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. If you renounce your faith, are we getting this? If you renounce your faith, become an atheist or something other than a Christian, you are not saved, again, unless you repent and rejoin your faith. 1 John 5:13, hold on to this one. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That is very important, that you continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. See, what I think happens to you at the time of salvation, this is what I believe, the Spirit of God comes within you. You don't continue to believe on your strength. You are believing because you're genuinely born again of the Spirit. The Spirit is allowing you to push through this thing and end victoriously. That belief is in the present tense as a continuous to believe. It's the active voice. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you continue to live out this faith. Now, one more. Hold your breath, Rick. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. Now, Paul wrote Romans, and he wrote 13 epistles. One of those was 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, Paul is, and in these books, Paul is not confused about his view of persevering. Okay, he's not confused. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. This talks about your death. When Christ died, when you believed in Jesus, you died. Your old life died. You were resurrected to newness of life. That's your justification. Christ's righteousness imputed or credited to you at the moment of salvation. You were saved. You were saved. No question about that. You were saved. And then he goes on to say this. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. That's his justification. If we endure, we shall reign with him. That, folks, is sanctification. If we endure, I think that what we do after salvation is very important to what's going to go on in the millennial reign of Christ with different areas of responsibility in serving Christ in the millennial reign. We will reign with him. We're set apart. If we deny him, watch this caution, he will also deny us. Now, hear what this word deny is, in case you're confused. Deny is deny. It means to refuse, reject, disown, and that also is in the present tense. That's a continual, habitual denial. You know why that's good? Because there's lots of time in your Christian walk when you're going, gosh, is this thing real? I don't know if what this thing's all about. I mean, I don't know if I really believe all this, okay? And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God will come to you, confirm this whole thing is true. You don't, that is a present tense. You continue to deny to the end. And then he says, if you are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Faithless, apistio, pistio is believe, or faith, no faith. A is the prefix before, it means it's no faith. Faithless, disbelieve, unfaith, untrustworthy. And again, that's in the present tense. Now take a hard stop. There are people, there are Christians throughout history that have endured incredible torture. I mean, they poke out your eyes, you know, stick glass down your throat. I mean, I don't have to get too graphic with this. Kill your loved ones in front of you, and the human mind breaks for that moment. And they might utter something like, okay, I'm going to go along with this to save my wife or my children. Now, I'm sure they will regret that, and many don't, because they're going to stay faithful to Christ. But if you do lapse at that moment, that does not mean you are permanently not in, because that's in the present tense also. You have to continue, have a heart bent towards God, continually deny, continually faithless. And then God is faithful. He will save anyone who repents and turns to him. Now, folks, that's good news to me. These are hard verses. These are scary verses. These are don't mess with God verses. Examine yourself. Are you genuine? Are you a make-believer? Are you a pretender? Are you just going through the motions so mom and dad see you or your brothers and sisters think you're... What are you? Only you can tell. We can't tell. Only God knows. Folks, the thing is, continue in your faith. I will trust in the Lord until I die. And remember this. It is direction, not perfection. Don't get so down on yourself when you fail. Failing and falling and getting up is part of the Christian walk. Fall and get up and get moving again. Don't live in defeat. Verse 23 and 24. Believe and be part of the olive tree. Stay on the path. What path is it? It's the Jesus path. Okay, let's do it again. What path is it? It's the Jesus path. You got it. Okay, 23 and 24. Let me find my spot here. There it is. Oh. And they also, if, another third class if, they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, Gentiles by faith, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? That's future regeneration of Israel. So, if the Jews do not continue in unbelief, they will be grafted in again to the olive tree. They'll be saved. We know this happens at the end of the tribulation, the national regeneration of Israel. Zechariah 12:10 gives us an insight into this. And I, this is Father, this is God speaking, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me whom they pierced. Now look at the me. Me is God speaking. The one who was pierced is Jesus. Who is Jesus? God. God. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. That's their repentance. That's their repentance. Believing Gentiles were grafted in unnaturally, contrary to nature. How much more will the natural branches be grafted in? Now, what this summarizes to me is this. It seems that all who believe, Jew and Gentile, are part of the olive tree, the blessings of God, salvation. These are the true people of God. For all of humanity, Jew and Gentile, genuine belief is the one condition for salvation. You must believe, commit to, place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior personally. Not just recognize that he died on the cross. Personally, I believe you died for me, Jesus, in my place. You paid my sin debt, and you're saved. Now, closing, stay on the path. Now, this is a test. What path is it? Jesus' path. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God has made it very clear to be part of his family, to be saved. Remember, we use these words. We talked about these last week. Born again of the Spirit. You must believe. We talked about that last week. We have learned there are three tenses to salvation: past, present, and future. Now, this is an Andy Wood slide. Well, maybe it's not his slide. Maybe he stole it. But anyway, this is on his site, and it's on a lot of other sites. So salvation, past tense, justification. Christ's righteousness has been credited to me the moment I believed. You have been saved. It's past tense. You're saved from your sins, pure and holy in the sight of God. This is when salvation occurs. This is the rest of your life, sanctification. That's the present tense. That's what's going on right now, hopefully in every believer, being conformed to the likeness of Christ. Now, this is a significant event. I believe that sanctification demonstrates that your salvation, your justification was genuine. Are you changing? Are you being conformed to the likeness of Christ? In the parable of the soils, we read this. And remember, there's only one soil that looks like it's genuine for sure. There are people that make arguments for the other soils, but there's only one that there's no doubt about. That's the good soil. It produced the good fruit. Luke 18:15. But the ones that fell on the good ground, that's the seed, that's the word of God that gets spread out, falls on the good ground are those who have been, the good ground is this, those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart and bear fruit to repentance. Notice, the ones that are genuine, the good soil, bear fruit. That's character change, folks. Character change. Hear Jesus, John 15:16. I choose you. Now he's talking to the 12 early on in his ministry. Late in his ministry, actually, here. Choose you and appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit. Now, again, fruit in my mind is godly character, a changed life. Now, what do we see of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We see other things in Scripture that are fruit. Fruit. Right character, we see in Scripture, is fruit. Produces right conduct. Look, if you're a real Christian, then you're going to be different than you were. You're not going to be hanging with the same people, going to the same places. Hopefully your language changes. Now, that might be a slow one, but your language changes. What you think, what you're watching changes. Oh, everything starts to change as the Spirit of God convicts you and these things fall off. Well, I better not do that. I don't think I'm supposed to do that anymore. I don't think I'm supposed to go there anymore. Well, golly, I don't think I... And that just hits you one after another. It's not all at once. It's a process. It's a process. The right conduct results in you being a witness. Now, what does that mean? The world sees that I'm different. I am not who I was. It is a witness to the world, which brings praise to God that you've genuinely changed your life. And then finally, the last thing that is a fruit is generous giving. Now, most of the time, people think of their money and that sort of thing. I think it's giving of your life. Giving of your life. As Leo always says, time, talent, treasure. Time, talent, treasure. Everything that you have. You're a steward. We own nothing, folks. We are just passing through this thing. This is not my home. Good to know when you get ready to pass from here. That's really good to know. That your home is someplace else. Another point to consider in regard to salvation. When you see the word used in the New Testament, it is written in the present tense. That's a continuing to believe. If someone renounces their faith and converts to whatever, they are not saved unless they repent. Now, free grace believers claim this is not true. If one believes, then one is saved regardless of what they do with their lives. I do not see this in Scripture. I do not. Remember, salvation is direction, not perfection. I will never be perfect here. I will fall, but I do want to get up and get moving again. Direction, not perfection. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Never perfect here, only perfect there. Not perfect here. So husbands and wives, you're never going to have a perfect mate until we get there, and then we're not going to be mated, but anyway, we'll be perfect there. And then the future tense was glorification, the state of perfection, when we will know everything clearly. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Oh, then we shall see face to face. Listen to what 1 John 3:2 says. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know this. We know this, that when He is revealed, when He comes for me, we shall be like Him. Perfect. We shall see Him as He is. Now, I want to ask you a question about this. Why am I so fixated on how one really is saved? Why am I so fixated on this? What makes someone a real Christian? I've already said this. Because your eternal destiny is based on getting this one right. There is a right way to God and a wrong way, people's way, made-up way to God. Now, Theodore Roosevelt said this, it is a wicked thing to be neutral between right and wrong. There is a real right and there is a real wrong, and it's not your right and wrong, it's what God says is right and wrong. How about the next one, where all these world religions think they're right? These people are very sincere. It is noteworthy that all religions of the world do share one common key element. Salvation comes by human works. Remember, salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. God does the work. We are beneficiaries of that work by simply believing, placing our trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to focus on these two pictures that are going to be coming up. The first one, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's the Jesus gate, okay? That's John 10:9. Now, the next slide, I love this because it tells you there is only one path. Now, look, I was going to give you that road picture where there's umpteen thousand roads going out, but I've done that a whole bunch of times. So there's one path, one thing to stay on. One path, that's the, well, what path is it? The Jesus, thank you, it's the Jesus path. Yes, stay on the Jesus path. One path that we should be on, the narrow path of following Jesus. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow. If you're following Jesus, that's a good path to be on. It gives you evidence that you're genuine. So, enter the right gate. It's the Jesus-only gate. And stay on the right path. Don't get distracted to some other path. There's a guy, his name is Bill Mounts. He's a Greek scholar. He's also a pastor, and he says this, quote, And I love this because I share this feeling. I've expressed this many times in our men's group. Ever since I started pastoring, I think this has been the main question that haunts me. What is a Christian? What is a simple, straightforward, easy to understand answer that makes use of all the biblical data? For me, he goes on to say, it is the Jesus gate and path analogy. Being a Christian is being a follower of Jesus, hard stop, not a fan of Jesus, as the book was written about. We are followers of Jesus. I'm not just a fan, yay Jesus, go Jesus. I am a follower. When I'm a follower, I'm believing and I'm doing what he's taught me to do. I'm not just waving at Jesus, I love you Jesus, I'm a fan, but I'm not following him. I want to follow the Master, follower of Jesus, on the path. You start following at the gate, that's salvation. Continue following as you walk along the path. At the end of the path of perseverance is life. So for me, it is easy to say that while I celebrate the finished work of Christ on the cross and the undeserved, grace-filled, regenerative work of the Holy Spirit at my conversion, there is a very real sense in which my salvation is an ongoing process culminating in glorification. Provided, of course, that I hold fast to the gospel. And then he makes this comment, isn't that what Paul is saying to us? He's saying, don't get broken off. Stay faithful. Graft it in. Do not be distracted by a false path. Satan is an expert at distraction and deception. And you've heard me say this before multiple times. You are living in the most distracted generation in the history of the world. Our brains have never been pummeled with inputs like this generation. And we are all addicted. I'm addicted. I'm trying to recover from this thing. You can detach from technology, folks. It's safe to detach. Now, what you want to be careful of is the everyone is doing it path. Stay on the right path, even if you have to walk alone. Isaiah 31 says this, this is the way. Look, when you're a believer and you're going off the path, you know it. Jason tells us all the time, the Holy Spirit convicts us. And we know when we're going off. And you hear the word say, oh, no, don't go there. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go with those guys, whatever you do. No, this is the way, walk in it. And it's hard to resist that. But it's the only safe place to be, because if you take that bad road, that's going to lead to bad stuff in your life. Bad stuff. So stay on the path. This next picture, you've seen it multiple times before. But you might be the only one in your group. Well, find another buddy. Find another friend. Because this path is not the one. How many times do we take polls to determine who's right? Forget that. There's only one right way, and that's the Jesus way. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many going by it. And narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life. There's few who find it. You just heard the New King James. I don't know what this is. But this is one way, one road, one path. The majority are taking the wrong road and think they're on the right path. Be very, very careful. Now remember this. It is doubtful that the majority are ever correct. It is doubtful. If everybody's going this way, stop. Brothers and sisters, what has Paul taught us? If one believes, they are a grafted in branch, Jew or Gentile. All who believe are saved. Believe and you are grafted in. It's just that simple. And by the way, stay on the right path. Okay, one more test question. What is the right path? It's the Jesus' path. You got that right. It's the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus' path. He empowers you to stay on the path and to finish your race. It's not you, it's God in you that allows you to finish. Stay on the path, folks. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's simple belief in Jesus Christ that gets us saved. There is an eternity with God, or there is an eternity separated from God in what Jesus and what the scripture calls is hell, and ultimately the lake of fire. Separation, misery, awfulness. Jesus warned about this. Don't go there. Don't go there. Believe in me. Don't go there. Folks, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would urge you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Do that now. Don't put this off. Behold, today is the day of salvation. This is when God is talking to you. God is the one that initiates. God is the one that is opening your minds. God is softening your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now and be saved. This is your moment. If you do not know Jesus, put your trust in him. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust you as my Savior. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.